My father did not. My father used to spend hours as a boy listening to the socialist Jewish speakers in the Hill District. He listened and listened, but always felt that the issues for which they stood would be accomplished not through a socialist party, but through the regular political parties, the Democrats or the Republicans. And he, although he was sympathetic, he was essentially very conservative, and most of his life, I would say, voted Republican. Those, again, there were every Friday evening at dinner when I was going through college, and Friday nights, the political discussions were very hot, and always Dad was more conservative than we were. They were very enjoyable.
Where did
my mother? We could convince my mother frequently to vote Democrat and cancel out my father's Republican vote.
Where did you go to religious school?
B'nai Israel. I went to B'nai Israel while they were still in a stone house on Highland Avenue. I remember when they bought the Mellon home on Negley, and we first came into it, and it was still very much the home. It had not been changed. The carriage house was the place where dancing lessons were given. Ballet there.
Were you confirmed from?
I was confirmed there. My husband was in the same class. He got the gold medal and I got the silver medal.
Later did you go on after you were confirmed with
no.
any religion?
And then I was married. I was confirmed at 16 and married at 20. And when we were married, we moved to New York to go to Columbia. I'll get to that later. But Saul and I then did not become affiliated until our children, three boys, needed a plan for their bar mitzvah. At that point, we joined up Temple Sinai, which was in walking distance.
Is that where how you met your husband?
I met him at B'nai Israel, but we didn't go together then. It was at Pitt a few years later. He was a year ahead of me. He was on the debating team, and I was interested in debating, and we used to hang around the second floor of Alumni Hall for days and days, and we began dating then. We were married when I finished my junior year.
Where did you go to primary school?
Sterrett School. Right.
Will you graduate from Sterrett?
Kindergarten through the eighth grade. And I can tell you every teacher I had and what she was doing.
Where did you go then?
We, interestingly enough, for school, since school desegregation plans are so much in our minds now, Westinghouse High School was in walking distance of Sterrett. It was never under consideration that the Sterrett School kids should go to Westinghouse. They had their choice of Peabody or Shenley, even though Homewood at that time was very much a mixed neighborhood. Probably half and half, but it was a different economic class, both white and black. And the Sterrett School kids made their choice between Shenley and Peabody, both of which required streetcar transportation. Actually, the principal of Shenley High School at that time lived at the house right across the street from Sterrett School at Lane and Reynolds. After I was in, at just about the time I started the Peabody, and by the way, they had an advanced, it was the first year they did this, they took the IQs of all the entering kids and took one group. We were a February class. Took a group of us into a special class where in both English and Latin we were to complete three semesters instead of two, which would then put us into a June class. And I remained there the whole year. It was a very superior class. Not only was it a lot of fun, but we got excellent teaching, and everybody in the class was very bright and very stimulating.
When were you graduate from Peabody?
I didn't graduate from Peabody. I was only there 1 year. And during the course of that year, we moved to Hobart Street. We moved to Hobart Street for the sole reason that I was then 13, and Mother was afraid I was becoming interested in non-Jewish boys, which indeed I was. And therefore, the family had to hurry up and get into a more Jewish neighborhood. And so we moved to Hobart Street, and I transferred to Alderdice.
And from Hobart Street, you still went to B'nai Israel?
Yes. Dad said, now that we've moved the neighborhood, you have your choice of the other temples. You can go to Rosh Hashanah, or you can go to Beth Shalom, or any one of them. We started at the B'nai Israel.
When will you graduate?
Dad drove us there every Sunday morning and brought us home.
When will you graduate from Taylor Alderdice?
1931. I was in the third class of Alderdice. That's counting a February.
And from there, where did you go?
I went to the University of Pittsburgh. And I was only there for 3 years because by that time I had already, Saul and I had already decided to get married. He was graduated, and he was going on to law school at Columbia, and I just decided to go with him. And I remember Helen Rush, who was the assistant dean to Thursa Amos, who was the dean of women at Pitt. I had been selected for most of the honorary groups in the Pitt women's field of activities, and she said, how can you be when your senior year is going to be the culmination of all these activities? And I was absolutely astonished because my priorities of not leaving Saul were so much stronger that I really was amazed at the question.
And what did you do?
I felt that this comes first. Oh, I transferred to try to get into Barnard and couldn't, but was accepted at Hunter at NYU.
Without a high school diploma?
Without a college
Without a... Oh,
I had 3 years at Pitt.
College, I see.
I'd completed my junior year there. And then our landlady, we were in a fourth floor brownstone house, said, why don't you try Columbia University? They do take some undergraduates. My major had been psychology. And she, why don't you just go up there and talk to them? And I did, and although my applications had been completed and accepted at both Hunter and NYU, I got up to Teachers College, and there was much, they gave me credit for everything I had at Pitt. You know, they looked at the transcript. And they did have a few Bachelor of Science students, and there was so much more flexibility in what I could take in the educational psychology field that it was a last-minute change and the spur of the moment from a landlady's suggestion. But I entered Columbia and was graduated there, and then...
Were you able to graduate in 1 year?
Sure.
As a transfer?
I got complete credit. And received my B.S. at the end of 1 year, and then entered the New York School of Social Work, which was a two-year course, and gave me the equivalent of a master's degree. Shortly after I left, they called it a diploma, the New York School of Social Work. That school became the Graduate School of Social Work for Columbia University, and I received notification that if I would only turn up for a six-week summer additional business, I would have my master's from Columbia University, but I was already working in Pittsburgh and didn't want to do that, so that, I always just say a diploma from New York School of Social Work. But, so many things I've been associated with, I have to translate because they no longer exist. I went to work for a very fine children's social work agency called the Children's Service Bureau of Pittsburgh, and I worked there 4 years, which time I was pregnant with my first child and left work. But they then merged with the Family Society of Pittsburgh to become Family and Children's Service. So now even the agency I worked for, has a new name. They wanted me to come back. It was during the war years when it was very important to get as many people back as possible, but I had embarked on having children and didn't want to interrupt them.
Do you remember much about the medical services when you were young? About doctors and hospitals, anything?
Well, I don't personally remember. We had a marvelous pediatrician when he died, there was an editorial, Dr. Eaton, in the paper, maybe. A very handsome, marvelous man who... All I can tell you is that I was subject to throat diphtheria-like symptoms, and my mother called him when I was very ill, and he came and prescribed something, and then the next morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, I believe we were still living in the hill, the doorbell rang, and Mother went down, and there was Dr. Eaton, who said, I was so worried about her, I want to be sure she's all right, and he came up. I remember because of that kind of illness, I had an early tonsillectomy, and the prescription for easing the throat after that was ice cream, and my mother got the ice cream freezer and was a marvelous maker of homemade ice cream.
Do you remember anything else about health care in those days?
Not really, except that I was born in the original Montefiore Hospital, but the experience was apparently bad enough that my mother had her second child, my brother, at home. Then, for the third child, she went back to the hospital.
Which hospital?
Montefiore. But we always, you know, the Hershensons were our only relatives on my mother's side, so there was... It was a close relationship.
You had a good doctor right in the family.
So we were always able, we felt we had access, certainly, to asking about where we could get the best care.
When you were growing up, what sort of recreation did you have? What did you do for fun when you were at high school and college?
Well, I'll start with Edgerton Avenue. I enjoyed those years so consciously.
How old were you then?
Up until I was 13.
Well, from 13 on is what we're most interested in.
Well, first, let me just tell you about the flavor of life when I was younger. There weren't very many cars. The streets belonged to the kids, both the sidewalks and the middle of the street. The skating, roller skating all over the place. We used to play and invent games with wagons in which one person would lie down on the back, draw a series of tracks, chalk marks on the whole block of the street with stations and stops and penalty places, and we rode bicycles all over the neighborhood. There was a safety and a freedom. When a car came on the street, the kids would all stand and look very contemptuously at the car and say, "Interference," you know, and the guy would get himself out of the way so that we could continue playing. The summer evenings were so pleasant. You know, we played Fox in the Morning and Geese in the Evening across the street. The neighborhood was a bedlam. Going back to the neighborhood, while I lived there, all those sections that I said were open, except for Creek Woods, were built out. The Armstrong Estate became the area where many of our friends now live, you know, between Reynolds and Penn and those streets. The Judge Wilkins section, the St. Bede's Parish came in, and many of the congregants of St. Bede's Parish built the houses on Edgerton and Merkland and so forth. So that I think back, as I go through those neighborhoods, I think back, well, these are all the new houses that were built. The meadow across the street from our home was built. And I think these are all new houses, but of course they're all over 50 years old.
When you moved to Hobart Street, what type of recreation did you have?
The park was always open ground for us, walking through Panther Hollow. Tennis. We
what
played
park?
Tennis. Shenley Park. We played tennis on the Mercantile Court, which was on Beacon Street, which ran back. Garina Road, where we later lived, was built on that property. A lot of walking, a lot of going to the library. I was always having to take lessons of one kind or another at the Y. Carl Heinrich taught ballet, followed by Madame Karpova, who was the epitome. If you saw, what was that movie recently with a ballet lady? She was the epitome of that Russian teacher, and so was Carl Heinrich. You could recognize him in the picture.
Were the lessons given at the Y?
My dad was part of the group that supported the building of the Y. We were members immediately. It was the Belleville Y. We could walk there, actually, or go by streetcar from Hobart Street through the park. I used to walk to Pitt often. Some things that I wouldn't want my daughter to do now, but it was a fascinating. We came home from Pitt very often through the park. There were always after-school activities. I was on the swimming team, both at Peabody and at Alderdice. Volleyball, basketball. In the early years, at Sterrett, the schoolyard was the great playground. It was open to all the kids. We all came in.
Were there many parties
while you were
growing up?
No. And that was not. It was a much more outdoor, physical kind of activity. It was not a... In grade school, The girls had one club where we met once a week at each other's homes and served hot chocolate with marshmallows and had some sort of handicraft thing. There were a few parties with boys, you know, you played post office and stuff like that. And later in Alderdice, the girls, there was some bridge playing with the girls at different homes and serving. We used to go to the Penn on Saturdays, go to Reamer's afterwards for hot chocolate. For others, there may have been a different kind of life. By the time I got to be a senior in high school, there were parties, a number of parties in homes with boy-girl, but I think I was kind of slow in that area. I sort of wanted to hold on to a more child-like kind of life, which I truly enjoyed so thoroughly that I wouldn't. And of course, once I went to Pitt, I moved very quickly into a dating party.
Well, tell me about your courtship.
I belonged to the 85 sorority at Pitt. You know, it was part of all the social activities once I got there. By the way, before you get to the courtship, Thursa Amos, who was lampooned all the time by us, a lady of the old school, gave all the women in the Pitt activities a tremendous education in organization. The whole women's student and fraternity affairs were operated on a very superior level, and one that in a sorority world you don't eliminate social discrimination and religious discrimination, and there were two Jewish women's fraternities, I believe. But their entrance into the total campus activity was completely free. And buddy old Victorian Thursa Amos was responsible for a very good education in a democratic organization. I never liked her, and most of the girls didn't because of certain strictnesses, but she was an excellent administrator of this kind of activity. We conducted them on a very superior level, and I feel that a lot of my organizational confidence came from the experiences in student government. Now, you were asking about a courtship. These were depression days, and money was spent on anything.
You had known him at Sunday school.
I knew him from Sunday school. And by the way, he was my sister's Sunday school teacher. And she came home one day and said, "Oh, I know the one for you. That's my Sunday school teacher." But I didn't meet him there. We really began going together at Pitt through the... did you know Teresa Kahn, the debate coach at Pitt, who married Richard Murphy, a debate coach at Pitt? Well, Teresa Kahn, Bessie Kahn Sachs. Teresa Kahn was the debate leader for Pitt women, and was a very superior intellectual. I think she may have been an 85, too. Anyway, I came into those activities, and Saul was part of them from the boys' side. And we just began going together, you know. It was walking home from Pitt after school. It was having lunch on the ground. Saul was the only one who came to lunch with homemade bread, and everybody wanted his sandwiches. His mother, with a family of nine, baked bread for that family of nine for the whole week, and the rest of us didn't have that kind of bread. We frequently ate lunch together, came home together, we spent the evenings together. It was a very...
Was that from the time you were a freshman at Pitt?
Mm-hmm. From the time I was...
When
I was a junior, we decided we were going to get married. We both were 20. Saul's only 3 months older than I. We had to get out of the city council building with our parents to get permission. And we got it.
When were you married?
June 14th, 1934.
And how many?
And I must say that depression affecting young people so much, we were one of the only couples of our group able to get married. And it was simply because both families helped, and my parents felt, you know, if the right guy comes along, you know, we were both going to continue going to school for 3 more years, but they felt you can do this within marriage, and there were very few married couples going to school in our day. We weren't the only ones, but almost the only ones.
Tell me all the places that you lived. You first lived in New York.
Well, when we went, after we were married,
yes.
we got to New York, and picked up the New York Times, looked at the ads, and walked the streets, looking at all the brownstones within a close neighborhood of Columbia University. And the first place we got was a four-story, on the fourth floor of a brownstone. By the way, these brownstones were beautiful buildings, and the one we lived in first was was well over 100 years old. I don't know how long, but the original buildings were still there, and it was owned by a white Russian emigre who had all kinds of stories about his relationship with the Russian nobility. I suspect they were true, too, from the way he carried himself. And he was married to a very handsome school teacher. She was the one who referred me to Columbia. But they kept the second and third floors of that home for their personal use and had an apartment in the basement and one on the fourth floor, and kind of talked us into the fourth floor one, where we shared a bath with a violinist. And when the violinist, who was home a great deal, began making kind of overtures to me, we just left very precipitously and moved to another apartment in Columbia, which we got in the sublease. But we never liked the apartment so much. In the next 2 years, we lived in other brownstones within walking distance. And our last place also was, the owner was just a very fine person, and she had interesting tenants on her fifth floor walk up as well as on the first floor. And it was a very good experience. We always lived between West End Avenue and Riverside Drive, and you always hope to get a southern exposure so that the bay window somehow you'd get a glimpse of the river.
When did you move to Pittsburgh?
Oh, we came back to Pittsburgh as soon as we finished, we each had our degrees. Saul came back a few weeks ahead of me to start cramming for the bar.
Where did you live then?
Well, the first thing we did, and because Saul had to pass the bar, was just come right back to my mother's home, where we took over what had been the library. And after a few months there, we found an apartment on Phillips Avenue. Again, a third floor walk up. It was a very pleasant apartment. There's a group of them right near Davis School. Davis School hadn't been built then. And we lived there 1 year. And then moved out to Brenneman Farm, where old Mr. Brenneman of the Brenneman Bakery had taken over the estate of his brother and took the farmhouse and made 3 apartments out of it. Saul and I occupied one. Our view was of North Park. The grounds around us were absolutely beautiful. Mr. Brenneman was determined not to have a luxurious place, however, and he put cows to graze on what had been 5 acres of manicured lawn, and he brought in a Penn State graduate to run a chicken raising business. He had 65 acres there, but we had a garden there, and those were the years when many people were seriously considering living on farms for subsistence, with one person working to bring in cash. And we lived in Brenneman Farm for 3 years, experimenting with this idea. We learned a great deal about raising vegetables. It was a half-hour ride from Pittsburgh. I had my job at the Children's Service Bureau, Saul. After 1 year of trying to have a law practice but without any clients, He joined the Pittsburgh Housing Authority, first in their legal department, and later he worked with the Housing Authority for 10 years. Later became manager of the Director of Tenant Selection, and then Associate Director of the whole thing. But we drove into work together. It took us 35 minutes and out, and we had the weekends on this farm, and it had a very real influence on our lives. Saul's family had lived on a farm earlier. They had bought, when Saul's father brought over several families, relatives both on Saul's mother's and on Saul's father's side, from Europe, the only way he could support them was on a farm. He bought 200 acres near Gibsonia with a lake, and the children all went to this one-room country schoolhouse for a number of years before they moved back into East Liberty, having run the farm literally into the ground because Saul's father was only interested in davening at the shul, and he came into Pittsburgh every day to do that, leaving Saul's mother with 9 children, several of whom were born out of the farm, to do all the hard work.
Where did you live after that?
After Brenneman Farm, we lived there. Our first child was born out there. Pearl Harbor occurred December 7th, 1941. And by that time, with a child and with me stopping work, and with the rise of potential fascism here, Father Coughlin and Gerald Smith were on the air all the time. We became concerned about the kind of environment our child would grow up in. And I had, you know, child development had been an area in which I had majored, and I felt it was extremely important for a child for the earlier years to be protected as much as possible so that they would be strong inside. And at that point, we decided to move into Squirrel Hill, where there would be enough Jews around to give any of our children support if needed, if this anti-Semitic movement really got any ground. So we bought a duplex on Birchfield Avenue. A duplex at that time that sold for $10,000, which meant we were buying two houses for $5,000 each. Had a very nice backyard, was on a very pleasant street on Birchfield between Murray and Shady. Had a view of the whole area. Minidea School wasn't built then, it was a field, and that was one of our views. And we lived there. There were some bad things about the house, and it was very drafty, and I do feel that our third son, who developed ear trouble, might not have if we had not had him sleeping in a back sunroom where the drafts were pretty bad. But anyway, we came in. David was then 6 months old when we moved to Birchfield Avenue. My parents were still on Hobart Street, and Friday nights were always with them as before. And our next two children were born there. And then we bought a lot in the Lyndhurst plan. Morris Paul was developing it at the time, and we chose Lacombe, and finally we chose a lot that was on Beechwood Boulevard rather than up the hill. And this was right after the war, and we went to Tech and got an architect. We knew it was very difficult. Housing material was not available, and contractors were not available. But this Tech architect said, I know one contractor, I guarantee you, he will build you the house. So we proceeded, and he developed plans for us, and then the contractor said, well. And we had the plans, and there simply people were interested in, they were starting the apartments on Fifth Avenue, which were far more profitable than single homes. There was green lumber. I hope you're interested in that kind of things, but historically these were factors which affected the building industry. Houses which were being built were warping because the demands of the war had been so great they simply weren't enough materials. And while we were waiting with this lot, we used to carry Ralph, who's a little baby, and lay him down on the grass on the lot and say, well, Ralph, this is where your bedroom is going to be. A home on Garina Road became available. It was about 6 houses from my mother's home. It was right behind on the area where I used to play as a girl. It was right about on the tennis court area of the old Mercantile Club. And
how long did you live in Garina Road?
We bought it. Furnished. We had our own furniture. We had to buy it furnished because the people were moving to Florida. As soon as we moved in there, we had doubles of everything, but I never threw anything away. We just, every space was taken. We lived on Garina Road for 11 years, and it was also a very happy period of our lives. The children loved it so much. When we had our fourth child, then the house was really too small. And at that time, my mother and father, the house having long been just for the two of them, all the children had been out, decided to sell the Hobart Street home and build a house which would have the advantages of an apartment and the advantages of a private home. And they built the house on Aylesbury Lane. It was only about 6 blocks from our house on Galena Road. But by then, I never had a car until 1970. By the reason they moved to their new home was they were 65 at the time. They wanted to live on one floor. And I realized that I needed to be close enough so that I could run over if they needed me. So we began looking for a home for ourselves, and we just couldn't find one. Our kids said, "We love this place so much. You have permission to go 5 blocks in any direction and no further from where we are right now." So we couldn't find a home at first, and we just put shelving all over the Green Road house and tried to make do, although we were the only ones with 4 children in those houses. And we really were crying. But by the time Eden was 6, we found, I kept looking, I knew every house for sale in Squirrel Hill. We found this home, and it was 6 blocks from where the kids had drawn their their
what
circle.
Year, what year
but
was
they,
that?
They accepted our going.
What year was that?
It'll be 20 years.